I'm so grateful for what the Lord's doing around the world. I'm so grateful for what He's doing here in Huntsville. And I am so grateful that we have the opportunity to be a part of what He is doing with our tithes and our offerings. I want to share with you that just as I've learned you to be, you've been so generous with our missions offering. To date so far, we've taken in $255,000. And what that means is that we're going to be able to support our missionaries, like the ones that you just saw here in this video, around the world. And it also means that we're going to be able to do our part as a church to impact lostness here in Huntsville and in the places that the Lord takes us. And so I would just ask, please continue with your generous giving. There's many ways that you can provide your giving to the church. If you're here in person, you can drop your tithes and offering at one of the boxes around the rear of the worship center on your way out. If you're worshiping online with us, you can go to the website and you can give your tithes and offerings through that means. I think we have a slide that shows you the other ways that you can give. But just know right now, we are grateful for your gifts. We're grateful for your generosity. And we're grateful to our God that's going to use them all for His glory and for His honor. Amen. With this said, I also want to remind you that you may be praying about your year-end giving. And what I want you to know is that the church offices will be open on December 30th and 31st. I think it's going to be from 10 to 2, but we will be open to greet you if that's the way that you would like to make your year-end giving. Our office will be open. Well, we have much to pray for today. We have much to be grateful for, but we also have many in our church who are struggling. We have many in our church who are sick and down with COVID. We have many who are experiencing all kinds of difficulties in life. I get a new story every day about somebody else. And so as we pray for our giving, I also want us to think about those in our congregation who need our prayers today. We need to lift them up to the Lord so that they can find the healing and help that only He can provide. So will you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, when we think about generosity, we think about You and the way that You gave Your all for us on the cross. You spared nothing. Oh God, You gave Your very best. You gave Your Son, that in Him we might have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. And as Jesus is our model, Lord, we want to be generous in the same way with everything that You bless us with. Our time, our talent, and yes, our treasure. And so, Lord, today, I pray, God, that You would help us to be generous givers, knowing that You will receive whatever we offer, and You will multiply it, and You will use it to impact Your kingdom, both here in Huntsville and around the world. Oh, Father, thank You for what You're doing at Whitesburg. Lord, we sent Your Spirit here today, and God, we see all around us the handiwork of what You're doing, bringing new life, as we've seen already this morning, to those who were once far from You. And God, we hear stories of the way that You're healing those who were sick and infirmed. God, You are at work all around us doing those things that only You can do to bring healing and hope and help to people who are in need. And this morning we say thank You for that. So God, help us to be cheerful givers. Lord, we do lift up those, Lord, in our membership who are struggling today with sickness and with illness. And God, I pray today that You would overwhelm each one with Your presence. And God, may they experience Your healing power even this moment, Lord. And we just submit them to Your great care and to Your compassion. We love You and we praise You, Lord. And thank You for what You're going to do in their lives today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
And all God's people said, thank you, Philip. You know, brothers and sisters, happiness depends on circumstances, but joy only comes from Jesus. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy takes place no matter what happens. In His presence is fullness of joy. We're going through a difficult time as the church. Hearts are troubled. People are losing hope. What greater season than to let the people of the world see the joy of the Lord in our lives? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So don't live your life under the mattress. Get on top of the mattress and rest in the Lord. That's the best use of a mattress. A lot of us are living under the cloud. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And every time you sing this next carol, think about what we've talked about this morning. Joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Would you stand as we sing?
Thank you, Rick, and praise team, and thank you, Van, for leading us this morning. And again, it's so good to see each of you here and you online. I forgot to mention a few minutes ago, but if you are visiting with us If you're watching online, there's a tab right there by where you're watching that says Connect Card. And we would love for you to fill that out and submit that today. And I promise you, one of our pastors will get in touch with you and follow up with you about all the good things that's going on here at Whitesburg. And the same if you're here in person today. In the chair back right in front of you are some Connect cards. And if you will just leave some information about yourself so that we can connect with you, you can drop that in the box in the back on your way out, and you can let that be your offering to us today. We're going to continue this morning with our series, The Hope of Christmas, and today we're going to talk about hope is powerful. Hope is powerful. We're going to be in the same text where we have been for the last several weeks. If you have your Bible with you, you may want to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to be in verse 6. You know, today's world is full of uncertainty, isn't it? It seems like all around us, people are looking for a person or a vaccine to fix the wrongs that we have in the world. And that's not a bad thing. We don't want to see people sick, and we want to see things get better in our world, don't we? But I'm here to suggest to you this morning that what this world needs is a Savior. And what this world needs is Jesus. You know, I think it was former President Ronald Reagan who once said, "Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look." And the prophet Isaiah is going to point us to a hero this morning. And he's known as Mighty God. And so in our passage today, the prophet Isaiah is going to point us to a baby who is Mighty God. And he's the only victorious warrior who can conquer sin and overcome the final enemy, death. We're going to find today that Jesus is the all-powerful God who is victorious over all things. So let me read the passage and we'll see how this unfolds today from God's word. You know this passage, it's very familiar, but let me read it to us to begin. For it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And so what you have here this morning from Isaiah is a birth announcement. Now, it's not like a birth announcement that you're used to seeing on Facebook. For Isaiah, he didn't have a bunch of pink or blue balloons to reveal a gender of this child. No shotgun smoke that blew out some kind of pink or blue smoke. It's a different kind of announcement. This birth announcement is unique in that it was made 700 years before it came to pass. This passage that we just read was written to God's very own people who had turned away from him. God's own people turned away from him, or they would not turn away from its moral depravity, political corruption, social injustices, and spiritual idolatry. Matter of fact, if you begin in Isaiah chapter 1 and work all the way through Isaiah chapter 8 leading up to this passage, you will find that God's people turn to everything else except for God for the hope and for the help that they would need. Their sinful practices, as well as ill-advised decisions by their king Ahaz, has led them to captivity. And God's people now find themselves in a dark place. Now, in the midst of this backdrop, Isaiah prophesies this word from Isaiah chapter 9 that hope is on the way. And this hope would come in the form of a child, a son, who's going to become a mighty God. And this is exactly the kind of person that they hoped for. It's exactly somebody that they would want to take the throne. How comforted do you think Israel would have been to hear this word that one was coming, a mighty God was coming to rescue them and to be their aid from their oppression? Matter of fact, it's going to be one who is more powerful and mightier than the Assyrians or any other enemy they ever faced. Oh, don't you know, this would have been music to their ears to hear this. Now, when we read on into chapter 10, there's a little twist to this story. And the twist is simply this, is that Isaiah drops a little bit of a bombshell on the people of God with a lesson on judgment and mercy. In Isaiah 10, God says through Isaiah, he says to the people, hey, you know these Assyrians that have been beating you up? God said, hey, I did that. And he said, I did that because you've turned from me. You have been in sin and rebellion, and I am using the Assyrians as a rod of discipline against you. But God also has some good news for them. For he informs them that he will not let the Assyrians go unpunished. That after they're finished with the work that God has allowed them to do to his own people, he is going to come back and punish the Assyrians for what they have done. But then here is the interesting news, the good news. He says a remnant of Israel will return to this mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. And so right now they're enduring a season of judgment. But the good news is that they're giving a future hope of restoration. And so in the passage that we just read and in the passage that we've been looking at over the last several weeks, the scripture gives four titles for this one to come. And these titles identify the ministry of Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesies about a time when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will appear as mighty God for his people. And so one of the questions that we need to address this morning is, who is this mighty God? Who is this mighty God? Well, in Hebrew, there are two words that comprise this name, mighty God. The first word is one that you're very familiar with. It's the word El, which simply means God. And so you're familiar with some of the names that include this name El. For example, the name Elohim, which means the one true God. It's the singular form of God, the one true God. And obviously you're familiar with the term Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you're also familiar with the name Ezekiel, which means God strengthens. And so you have this word El, which means God. The second word is this word Gibor. The word Gibor means a warrior. It's actually used in a military context. And it means a military hero, a warrior on the battlefield, a conquering warrior. Now, there's another word in Hebrew. It's the word hasad, and it means strength. It just means strength. It means strong in power. But we're talking about something much more than that. Gibor is talking about a victorious warrior who will be decisive in battle, and he will be victorious. And so when Isaiah prophesied about El Gibor, he envisions Jesus Christ, our Messiah, as a victorious, conquering God. And so here's the main point for this morning. This week, we see Jesus is the mighty God who is victorious over all things. Jesus is our mighty God who is victorious over all things. Now, last week we learned that Isaiah described the Messiah as the one who has the wisdom to counsel and govern. And this week we see Jesus as mighty God, the one who can carry it out. And so why should people trust Jesus as the mighty God? Why should we trust Jesus as the mighty God? Well, we need to go to the Word. Now, there's some things that we think we know, some things that we've heard throughout life, but there's just some things where we have to go to the Word and be reminded. It reminds me of the story of the pastor who was doing his children's church time, and he called the kids up front, and he started the time with a question. He said, "What's gray and furry and has a long tail?" And one of them said, "Well, it sounds like a squirrel, but I'm sure it's Jesus." And so we don't want to go on things that we might have heard. We need to go according to what the Word of God says. And so why should people trust Jesus as mighty God? I want to share with you three things. Number one, Jesus has always been El Gabor. Jesus has always been mighty God. We know this first from the prophets. Isaiah 7:14 said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." In fact, there's over 300 Old Testament prophecies that speak to Jesus as the Messiah, as Emmanuel, as God with us. Then Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." This mighty one is Jesus. And then even the psalm writer gets involved and brings more clarity to this. In Psalm 24:7, he says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? He asks. "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And so the Old Testament prophets and writers, they point us to Jesus as mighty God. Jesus has always been mighty God. He is presently mighty God, and he always will be our mighty God. And then there's a second thing that I want you to see. The New Testament speaks to the deity of Jesus. You're very familiar with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And this is also repeated when you come to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So here we see Jesus identified as God, and he is powerful. In his creation and in his sovereignty, he is powerful. And then there's a third thing that I want you to see, and that is this, that Jesus claims, the claims he makes about himself in the scripture. For example, in John 8, verse 58, he says, "Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I was." He says in John 10, 30, "I and the Father are one." So the Bible affirms Jesus as God. The apostles and even the Jewish leaders recognize Jesus' claims to deity. And this is a very fundamental belief of our Christian faith, that Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, is God. And then there's a second thing that I want you to see, my second point that I want you to see, is that Jesus is El Gabor. He's the all-powerful God in his ministry. Jesus displayed himself as mighty God in many supernatural ways throughout his earthly ministry. Now, I want you to listen to what Dr. Michael Youssef says about this. He says it much better than I ever could. But he said, God was making a significant point when he entitled his son, Mighty God. Jesus, the Savior to come, would be God himself, the supernatural, powerful one. Listen to what he says. The same El who created the stars and who leads them out by name would take on human form and walk beneath them. The same El who knit together each person in his mother's womb would allow himself to be knit together and walk among the very people he created. The same El who would say, let there be light, stood on the Mount of Olives and proclaimed, I am the light of the world. The same El who blew his breath on a handful of dust, creating the first man, commanded the dead body of Lazarus, come out, and he did, alive and well. The same El who delivered manna every morning to the Israelites in the wilderness, delivered food to the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The same El who parted the Red Sea supernaturally, rescuing his people from slavery, hung on the cross to rescue us from the slavery of sin. Jesus has always been El Gabor, the mighty God. And he still, here's the good news, he still demonstrates that power every day. Has he been El Gabor for you, the mighty God? Listen to a third thing. Jesus is El Gabor, the all-powerful God in his mercy. Jesus, El Gabor, the all-powerful God, was victorious in what mattered most. Mighty enough to defeat sin. Mighty enough to defeat death and the grave. Rose again. He was the approved champion of God. The sting of death has been taken away. He is our victory. That is the battle that Jesus, El Gabor, came to wage. Let me give you a picture of what this might look like. We're in the process of a transition of power in our United States. And one of the last things that a president does before he leaves office is he grants pardons. In other words, there's people who come to mind that he wants to pardon and be merciful to. And you know, the only reason why he can do that is because he has the power to do it. And in the same way, our Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, has the power and has granted us the pardon for our sin. Amen? El Gabor. He has the power to grant mercy and forgive sinners. So you can see now why Jesus as El Gabor is exactly what Israel needed. They were hearing exactly what they wanted to hear. They were lost in this darkness. They were lost in moral decay. They were lost in political corruption, social injustice. You talk about a timely message. They were hearing about the hope of El Gabor, the power of a mighty God, a victorious warrior who would fight their battle. Sadly, they missed it. You see, they were looking for a king, a human king who would come and fight their battles. They were not looking for Jesus. He came to us meek and mild. This mighty God that Isaiah prophesied about was not just their Messiah. He's our Messiah too. And our Messiah brings hope and power. How? Five ways. I want to make five statements of hope that I hope will bless you this Christmas season and maybe even be life-changing for us. This year, I want to make sure that your hope is in the salvation of mighty God. Paul describes it for us in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, our mighty God, is already victorious in what matters most. He came in the form of a man, a baby, and has defeated sin, death, and the grave. He has risen, and we can have new life in him. In him and in him alone, we can find forgiveness of sin and grace. Have you trusted Jesus, El Gabor, to be your Lord and Savior? Your hope should be in the salvation of mighty God. There's a second thing. Make sure your hope is in the strength of mighty God. Did you know that this term Gabor was also a name used for human warriors? For example, Goliath was called Gabor. He was referred to Gabor because he was known to be a very strong battlefield warrior. Now, I want you to see what happened when Goliath enjoyed his time as a battlefield warrior. You remember the great encounter in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when Goliath is holding the whole Israel army at bay. What's even more interesting to note is the Philistine army. You see, they stood behind their great warrior and they were at peace. They rested. They relaxed a little bit too much. Why? Because their great warrior was out in front of them, waging the battle on their behalf. Now, you know the rest of that story. He has an encounter with a young warrior by the name of David who killed Goliath and created the way for the Israelites to charge the Philistines and to do away with them. And you know why that happened? Because Goliath was just Gabor. Goliath did not have El. And what I want you to know today is that we have El Gabor, the mighty God. Listen, friends, who is standing before us, fighting our battles. And we don't live in our strength, but we live in the strength of the one who is before us, who is the all-victorious, conquering God who will fight our battles. He's our protector. He's our defender. And he is decisive in battle. So listen, when things get tough, when you find yourself maybe under spiritual attack, remember that Jesus is your El Gabor. He's your mighty God who fights for you. He is victorious. And listen, he will not fail. He will not fail. So you can see now why Paul said, in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our strength is his strength fighting for us. He is your strength this morning. So I ask you this, in whom or what are you trusting your life to today? I pray that your hope is in the strength of mighty God. And then make sure that your hope is in the Spirit of Mighty God. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised to send the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us and to empower us to be His representatives in the world. And Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Your hope should be in the fact that His Spirit is abiding in us, strengthening us, guiding us, teaching us, encouraging us, comforting us as we live in Him each day. And then there's a fourth thing. Make sure that your hope is in the strategy of Mighty God. You see, Israel was meant to be a light to the nations, but they became so concerned with themselves and their own borders that when Jesus actually came, they missed Him. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Our victorious, conquering warrior, hero, Jesus, our mighty God, this is what He's saying to us in effect. "I have slayed the world's champion." Just as David slayed Goliath, Jesus is saying, "Friends, I've slayed the world's champion. I have defeated the evil one. I have overcome sin, death, and the grave. Now go and share this good news with the world. Go be a light to the nations." Our mighty God is saying, "Go in my authority and in my confidence and tell the world that the Messiah has come." And then finally, make sure your hope is in the security of Mighty God. Our victorious warrior, our mighty God, our Savior Jesus, is coming back. Now, we also know from Isaiah chapter 61, it says this: Jesus came the first time, a child, a son, in meekness to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. But He's coming back, not as a meek baby, but as a conquering warrior. And He's going to take back with Him what belongs to Him. And so I would ask you, are you ready for His return? Revelation 22:20 says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." He's coming again. Are you ready for His return? You know what a great Christmas gift would be this year? Is to know all of us are trusting in El Gabor, the mighty God. I read a great story. Actually, I just read it this morning during my devotional time. Chuck Swindoll shares a story about crazy gifts. And it was a particular thing he wanted. And he would go to the tree each night. He'd pick up the box that he thought possessed the wrapped package that he thought possessed the gift that he wanted. It was the right weight, the right size, everything. And he would shake it. He'd walk away and dream about it every night leading up to Christmas. Christmas Day comes, and his family would hand out different gifts to each one, and they'd open up the gift and celebrate with the one it opened, and so on. It gets to Chuck Swindoll, and he opens up that gift, and it's not the basketball that he wanted. It was a world globe. And he says, "You don't know how long I've been waiting to get this basketball." He just wanted to hoop it up. He just wanted to play sports and do the... And so in somewhat of his despair, he pulls that globe out, and throughout the day he'd go back to it and I'm sure spin that thing around. But then his mother did something that was rather unique. She'd call out a city and say, "See if you can find this." And he'd spin it again, and she'd call out a city and say, "See if you can find this." Russia, China, India, calling out all of these places, and he would spin that globe and put his finger on a place. And you know what he said? He said, it was during that time that the Lord gave me a heart for the nations. That I wanted a basketball where I could do the things that I wanted to in life, but God gave me something bigger. He gave me a heart for the nations. And that's when he began to realize what Mighty God was all about. The best gift we can have this year is knowing our Mighty God personally through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in just a minute, I'm going to pray for us. But before I do, I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. It might be this Christmas you don't know Jesus is Mighty God. Hey, and if that's you, I want you to know that we're here for you. We'd love to visit with you about what it means to have a relationship with this Mighty God, El Gabor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It may be that you're experiencing spiritual warfare of some kind today that just has you at your wits' end. I want to remind you first today that you have somebody in your corner. His name is Jesus. He's your El Gabor, your Mighty God who wants to fight your battle. And it may be that you need somebody to pray with you today about this, and I want you to know we're available to do that today as well. Pastors will be down here. We'll have our mask on. We'd love to pray with you. You may just want to come to the altar and visit with Jesus yourself. It may be today that you are struggling with fear or uncertainty. And listen, it's true. We live in uncertain times, don't we? But I want to remind you, church, that we have one who goes before us. His name is Jesus. He's El Gabor, the all-powerful God who is victorious on the battlefield. He's our conquering God, and he will not fail. Trust him today, would you? It may be today that you're in a life crisis of some sort. And that would break our heart to know that, but I want to tell you something. You've got somebody fighting on your side. His name is Jesus. He's the Mighty God. He's El Gabor. He will not let you fail. He's your defender. He's your protector. He loves you. And I pray that you will trust him today. Whatever you might be going through today, Mighty God is on the front line. He's fighting for you. If you're watching online, you want to visit with the pastor today, just follow the instructions on the slide that will come up in just a second. But know this, you can email pastor@whitesburgbaptist.org. And I promise you this, a pastor will get back with you. And we'd love to pray with you and introduce you to our Mighty God. I'm going to ask you to stand now. We're going to sing our closing song. Let me remind you that we have one on our side who goes before against us, goes before us, and nothing can come against us. He fights our battles. He is the all-victorious warrior, conquering God. His name is Jesus, and he will not fail. Trust him today. Father, thank you so much for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you for this word, God, that you have shared with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are Mighty God. Thank you, God, that you're on the front line fighting our battles. Lord, help us to rest in you. May our confidence be only in you, because we know that you're before us as the victorious, conquering warrior God. And we don't have to fight our own battles. God, we don't have to live through the spiritual attacks on our own. God, we don't have to live with life's uncertainty and a quandary and wondering, what if, what if, what if? You are El Gabor, the Mighty God who goes before us. May we trust you that way today. And God, we thank you for accomplishing the work that mattered most. Thank you, God, for defeating sin. for defeating death, the grave, and coming again, Lord, and giving us the hope that we can have in you, that we can live a victorious life because we serve and follow the mighty God. I pray during these closing minutes, Lord, that you would have your way. I pray that in these moments, people will trust their lives to you. God, I pray that people will surrender, God, their conflicts, their crisis, their concerns to you, knowing that when they do, you fight our battles for you. You are the all-victorious God, and you will not fail. Thank you for that promise today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship at Whitesburg Baptist Church, both in person and online. Our desire is for you to encounter Jesus and experience life change. If you're a guest with us today, we ask that you please fill out a Connect card. If you're here with us in person, the Connect cards are in the seat backs in front of you. If you're joining us online, you can find the Connect card on the homepage of our website at whitesburgbaptist.org, or you can text the word guest to 256-344-0023. Now, if you're joining us online, you can connect with our online pastor throughout the worship through the chat feature of your live stream platform.
In January, we will be kicking off our new equip groups. On Wednesday, January 13th at 6:15 p.m. will be our equip group meet and greet, where you'll be able to explore the Wednesday night offerings, as well as the weekday women's classes available for moms and women of all ages. On Christmas Eve, you won't want to miss one of our special Christmas Eve services, Hope Has Come. The services will be at 3, 4:30, and 6. Again, register for your tickets on our website, whitesburgbaptist.org. And if you are unable to attend in person, we will be live streaming the 4:30 service. Join with other church members as we read through the Bible together with our 2021 Church Bible Reading Plan. You can participate online using the Bible app, or pick up a printed copy near the worship center entrances. Details are available at whitesburgbaptist.org. As part of our holiday schedule, life groups will not meet the next two Sundays, December 27th and January 3rd. Thank you again for being with us today, and now it's time to worship.
Good morning, church. Stand together. We're here to give praise to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It's only through His blood that we have life eternal. Come on, sing this. What can wash away?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but,
come on,
nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of blood of Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. Now all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. Plunge me to victory with His redeeming blood.
Come on, singing, oh, precious is the flow
that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is thou flow. Whoa.